That's quite a scripture. There's a lot in that scripture. Yeah, I remember that from Vacation Bible School. I remember that story well. It has stuck with me all my life. The parable of the two different houses built in different ways. The message this morning is the forgotten key. I had my key ring out. Yeah, there they are. I have to admit to you, I was thinking about this message, and I'm thinking, I don't normally bring my keys, and I'm thinking, I better not forget my keys, or there's going to be an add-on to the message. I forgot the forgotten key. I was going through my key ring this morning, or last week or so, and I found a key that I do not know what it does. Maybe you do better than I do and keep track of your keys a little bit better, but this is not the first time that has happened to me. I carry keys around for years and years and years, and all of a sudden I look at it and say, what does it do? And actually this one looks pretty important. It says U.S. lock, and it's got a serial number on it, so I think I have somebody's mailbox key, but I'm not quite sure. But it's the forgotten key. This key, I've been carrying it around. It does something. But without the lock, knowing what it unlocks, it's really useless. There's really no value to it because it doesn't unlock anything for me. Even though it is what it says it is, it really is of no value. What is the key to success? You know, we think of a key, I have a key that doesn't do much of anything, but if we have to shift gears just a little bit and say, what is the key to success? What are we doing? What do we do or don't do that we consider to be successful? Now, if you had you'd sit down and ask different people, you'd probably get different ideas. But some of the ideas you might come up with is if you talk to somebody who's not a Christian, some of the things you can come up with is probably maybe you get like money or a good job or possessions. Today, you might get the answer of getting your own way. Being able to do as you please would be a sign of success to them. There's all different kind of answers you would probably get to that. But for the key to success, if we look to Jesus for the key to success, what does he tell us about being successful? This passage of Scripture has two key words in it. And I hope John didn't think I was being rude this morning. I was laughing when he was talking about being hearers and doers. Because that's exactly what we're talking about here, being hearers and being doers. Jesus was saying, hearers are one thing, doers are a complete other opposite thing. We have to be more than just hearers. We have to do what we hear. You know, Ellen says sometimes, I don't listen very well. Actually, I hear, I just don't listen. But I think that's something different altogether. But he's talking about hearing and doing, actually doing something with what you hear. Jesus does tell us a little bit about what the key to success is. He gives us what we need in these passages. He says practicing, he teaches us, and he practiced what he preached. He teaches us that being a servant is the key to success, to being an honest and a genuine Christian. Someone who is a servant is someone who is following Christ without wavering. Someone who is doing exactly as Jesus said and is producing that fruit of the Spirit. How do we know? That's one of the ways that we know that someone producing the fruit of the Spirit. Being a servant was his key to success. When he was pressed, he gave an answer to the Pharisees and scribes that were trying to corner him, and he said, they asked him, what is the greatest of all commandments in Matthew 22? He said, we must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Those are the things that he was teaching and talking about. Those are the things that he said if we could practice those type of things and put them to action, those will be the successful things that will bring us about in our life. James tells us, and again, we've been looking at James in the Sunday school, but James tells us in chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. We have to do more than just hear. We have to be able to do. It's not enough to just hear Christ's words. It's not enough to just be able to say, well, yes, I know what the Bible reads. I can recite scripture from the Bible. I can do all of those things, but still, it's not enough. Jesus says you have to be able to put them into practice. It's not just enough to hear them. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those that hear it and keep it. John says, if you know these things, happy are ye that do them, and ye that do them. We have a lot of things that are given to us from Jesus that will help us to do the things that we need to do. He's talking in these passages, in the parable, he tells about a house on a solid foundation built on a rock. And then he talks about a house that is built on a sand, which is a very unstable foundation. I've helped to build a few foundations. I'm not a contractor. I don't know if I could actually build a complete foundation myself. Because what we don't realize about a foundation is they have to be put up with precision. Because when that final course goes on the top, it has to be level or the whole house will be off. But building a foundation is a messy job. It's mud. You've got to wear boots. You've got to get mud on your boots. You have to heavy lifting and cement blocks and pouring cement and laying each block by hand. And it's a lot of work. But finally, when the foundation of the house gets up and they backfill around the outside of it and you have that foundation sticking out of the ground, then you can build a house. And that's what everybody sees. Then you start building the house and you get everything on there and you can get your kitchen there and you get your dining room what way you want it. And you can't wait to invite your friends over. Your friends come over and you bring them in and say, wow, look at my house. I've got it all fixed up inside. Here's your kitchen. Here's all the fixtures you have in there. It's beautiful. Your dining room, your living room, the bedrooms, you have everything. It's all painted. Every perfect colors. Everything's just perfect. I guarantee you're never going to have someone say, this is all great, but I really want to see the cement blocks in your foundation. Got to see that basement. I want to see all those cement blocks down there. After all, that's the most important part of the house. The foundation. If you don't have that foundation, the rest that's up there doesn't really matter. It's on top of it. All we want to do is cover them up. We'll hurry up, put furring strips up and drywall and all this. You know, we're going to cover up those blocks, the cement blocks in the basement. The parts that are actually holding the foundation. That's the most important part. And that's what Jesus is trying to impress upon us here. That is the most important thing that we can do, is to build a solid foundation and build that foundation on Him and on His word. He says, do my word. Those are the doers of my word. Over in Proverbs, he gives us a little bit more of some more scriptures on in talking about that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Don't be leaning on our own understanding. Our own understanding will not get us where we need to be. It will not do for us the things that need to be done. Our own understanding is the house on sand. Our own understanding is building that house on a foundation that will not stand to the forces around us. One of the things that I've noticed in these two scriptures is the storm that Jesus says that came and beat violently on both houses. That storm is exactly the same. It's worded the same, and he's saying it is the exact same storm for both houses. So Christian and non-Christians, you know, we are in the world but not of the world. We're subject to the things that are in the world around us. But what Jesus is saying, there's two different ways that you're going to be able to handle it. With Him as our solid foundation, we'll be able to endure that. But if we don't build on a proper foundation, we're not going to be able to endure the things that are coming our way. When you build that house, you could say, okay, well, it's going to cost me a lot of money to build a foundation, so I'm going to cut corners. I'm going to throw some railroad ties down here on top of the ground, and I'm going to build this house up on top of them. And you can do that. And you can make it look really good. But I want to see your house after it freezes and thaws a few times, and the corners start to sink on this side, and that side there starts to sink. The house is just going to start to pull itself apart. And it's not going to last very long. Because he says if we're not on a solid foundation, we're not built on a solid foundation, then it's not going to endure. It's not going to hold up. It's not going to last. John 12, 43 through 50, he's talking about a lot of different things here, but in 44 through 50, he tells us a little bit about what he came for. He said, I came for you to build on my word, and you are to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And one of the benefits of that is, of course, salvation. He has set up our salvation for us. But I'd like to go a little bit further into that over in John, starting in chapter 40, or verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, which he's talking about is the Father. And whosoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. I had a teacher I think it was high school. I'm trying to think if it was junior high or senior high. It doesn't really matter. It was high school. I had a teacher anyway, an English teacher. He wouldn't fail anybody. I really liked him. That's the best grade I got on all of my report card. He would give you the answers to the test. He would write them on a chalkboard, and then he'd give you 4 or 5 minutes to study them. And then he would erase the answers, and then he would give you the test. That's a lot like Jesus, what Jesus has given us here. He's given us the answers to the test. He's given us the answers on what we're going to be judged by in the end. He said, the word that I'm giving you, this word that I'm saying, you know, you need to build on a solid foundation. You need to build on my word. You do my word and obey my word. And let the fruits, the Holy Spirit come in and let the fruits of the Spirit grow within you and be visible. He's saying, this is what you're going to be judged by in the end. So if you follow my words and if you do my words, then you're going to be able to do well in the judgment day. You don't have to worry about it. Because that is what you're going to get judged by. Over in the book of Luke, it says, Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are you when you do them. We all have the words and the encouragement and the things that Jesus has established for us, we know what to expect. All we have to do is do them. A servant sets priorities on God and not on himself. It's not easy being in the world and not being of it. You know, just being living our life, you know, we're subject because we're actually very frail. We're very vulnerable as human beings. You know, we like to think we're invincible at times, but try holding your breath and see. Let me know how long you can hold your breath. I'll be lucky if I can make it a minute. 3 minutes. I've heard some people say 3 minutes. I don't know. But we're vulnerable. We don't have all of the answers. We don't have the ability to control the surroundings around us, the things that are happening around us. We have to build a house in this lifetime. We have to build a house. Or we either build it on things that are temporal, temporary, relying on things that are could be gone tomorrow. Or if we can build on something that is solid, it's going to carry us through this lifetime and the next, that would be building on Jesus. It's not going to be easy. It's never easy trying to build a solid foundation and trying to get our spiritual life where it needs to be and continue to keep it there. We have to trust a lot. We have to surrender. We have to allow Jesus to forgive our sins. We have to sometimes just basically blindly follow Him. Where I grew up was farm country. And there was beautiful flat fields everywhere around us. They were prime farmland. And when they built the roads years ago, they didn't have all the heavy equipment that they do today. So they had to build the best way they could. And they didn't have the gravel crushers like they did today. They had very limited amounts of aggregate to work with. So what they would do when they would go out through this, build a road out across this farmland, is they would have to dig the soil out. They would take the topsoil out, and there was soft clay. They'd have to dig the soft clay out. They'd have to dig out as much as they had to get down to hard clay. And some places they had to go as high as 4 feet deep. Some places not as deep. So you have this flat farmland, and you have this road cut, a groove cut through it, which is fine in the summertime. But whenever wintertime comes, and it starts to snow hard, the first thing to fill in is this groove that's in the farmland as the wind blows up and drops the snow in there. And then a snow plow comes by and plows it up a couple feet high, and then that fills into that level, and it just creates quite a difficult scenario trying to travel. And one winter, there was a really bad storm came in quickly, and my dad was still at work. And we knew he wasn't going to get home with his car. We figured about where he was going to be stuck because there's a big hill where he had to come up. So we decided, my brother and I set out to try and find him. So we tried to take the route that he would, and it's one road. I probably shouldn't have taken it. I knew it was what it was going to be like, but it was bad. About a quarter of the way down through into this pass, the wind was blowing. They couldn't see anything. And the snow was about as high as a hood on a truck. I said, we are not going to get through here. I couldn't see out the windshield, couldn't see out the side window. So I just kicked the door open a little bit, and I could see my tire track. And I backed up about a quarter of a mile just following that tire track, getting back out of there, and then we took another road to go get him. Sometimes the storms that Jesus is talking about, this was no little storm that he was talking about, was beating on these homes, these houses that were built. This was an extremely powerful storm, and sometimes we really can't see. And we just have to follow the tracks that Jesus leaves for us, the footsteps that he leaves. We have to follow what he gives us. He gives us the encouragement. He gives us His Word. He says, if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to come into us, if we will do His Word and act on His Word and be followers of His, take care of His church, take care of the people around us, be open, be available to help whoever it might be. It might be a neighbor or a stranger. But allow the fruits of the Spirit that are talked about in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Allow the fruits of the Spirit to become part of our life. We will know that we are on solid ground. You know, we're anchored on that solid rock. Jesus himself was selfless. He didn't do anything for that we have recorded. He didn't really do anything for himself. It was always for others. He washed the disciples' feet. He was always concerned about others, and he, even in this passage that we're talking about, that I read to you here, he was saying that he's only about his Father's business. Anything he did was what the Father instructed him to do, because he knew that was the right thing to do. Jesus was selfless. He was about the Father's business, and everything he did was to benefit others. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added." He was a perfect example of that. I had my second job that I had was a plumber. And we had two trucks, and the owner of the company had the one truck, and he had a helper. And the second truck was his son. And I was the helper for him. I was hired as his helper. And I will never forget, it was baffling to me whenever he said it. The first time came to the place, and we got to know each other. We climbed in the truck. Before he even started the truck, he said, "I'm going to give you one word of advice." He said, "Believe all you see and half of what I say, and you're going to do great." Half of what you say? He was right. You believe half of what he says. That's not what Jesus gives us. Jesus says, "Believe all of what I say and all of what I do, and if you will do the things that I say, we will be a successful Christian. We will have a happy life." All the things that He gives us, the Ten Commandments, the things that we see in the Scriptures, they're to our benefit. They help us to lead a healthier life. They help us to lead a better life, avoiding a lot of conflict, avoiding a lot of things that are harmful to us. They will guide us away and help us and keep us in and get us going in the proper direction. Jesus was a perfect example for us. I know we at home, when we talked about foundations, it means a lot to me about foundations of a house, because my garage at home, when I was doing this message, I was thinking about my garage at home, about foundations. And I am told, I have some old timers that have told me, whenever they built houses and buildings back then, they didn't put any cement footer underneath them. They just dug down to the hard clay and they built right on that. And my garage is actually crumbling because of it. The water got under the ground and softened the ground, and now it's just the blocks are just going every direction. The foundation, the very foundation, Jesus says, if we do His word, if we follow Him, if we do as He asks us to do, and if we seek Him for guidance, if we seek Him for our salvation and for our very being, He will give us what we need. Some of the benefits we have from being a servant. Romans 8:38 says, "Nothing can separate believers." Well, there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38. There's a lot of things that can separate us from different things around us. But you know, we have that promise. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." If our foundation is established and we have sin, we have sought forgiveness for our sins, there's nothing that can separate us from that love of Christ. It doesn't matter what kind of a storm it is. You know, as I envision these houses that have been battered by the wind and have been battered by the rain, and that when the storm passes, I can imagine that house that was on a solid rock was untouched because it was a solid foundation, and the other one was just a pile of rubble, pile of bricks, a pile of wood or whatever they use for the roof. It's just a pile of nothing because it just didn't have what it took to withstand. The key to success is to use that forgotten key, which is being a servant, being a follower of Christ. We know, we read the words, we have the words in our hearts and minds, but we need to put them into action. Without putting the words of Christ into action, we are that right there. It's going to go in a drawer, probably be thrown away someday because it's of no value. Though it's a key, it really doesn't have any value. Trying to cut corners in our spiritual life will lead us to failure, just like that house on the sand. I would love to be able to put another garage up and just build on top of the ground and don't worry about the foundation. But I know better. I know because I've been given the information, I've been warned, and I've seen the results of not building on a solid foundation. This passage tells of two ways, the right way and the wrong way to build our spiritual life. It shows us that there is good consequences and bad consequences for each of the things, each of the different ways that they built these different houses. That's why Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by Me, in John 14:6. Jesus teaches by example, and I'm glad that He says what we are to do, and He actually showed us how to do it. He lived a selfless life. He didn't do anything, try to gain wealth or try to gain anything, which He could have very well done. But He teaches us to go forward and to follow His will. The forgotten key is a reminder that to be spiritual, to be a good, genuine spiritual Christian, we need to be doers of the Word. We need to be doers and not just go around saying things that we believe. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Being a servant has its benefits. All things, we know that all things are possible through Jesus, and Jesus will carry us in this life right into the next. Even when we are struggling, Jesus will walk with us, and we can follow His footsteps no matter what. Let's try to do as Jesus asked and be a doer of His Word, not just a hearer, but a doer, and allow the fruits of the Spirit to come forth in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your message this morning. We thank You for Your words that You have given to each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to be doers of the Word that You give to us. Help us to follow You, Lord. Help us to allow You to come in and forgive our sins and to cleanse us and to establish in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we can go forward and others can be saved, that others can be touched, that others can be changed completely from worldliness to godliness. Lord, we need, the world around us desperately needs You. And help us to be a part of that, to be able to not only just follow Your Word, but to help others to follow Your Word as well. And we ask this all in Your name. Amen.